We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to, or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today.
Why are more women than ever choosing Natural Cycles? The hormone-free, side-effect-free way to take control of your fertility. Natural Cycles is a birth control app that uses your temperature to find your fertile window. It is more than a basic cycle tracking app. Natural Cycles is the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app and has helped millions prevent and plan for pregnancy naturally. Save 15% when you sign up today with code RADIO15. Learn more at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
When Crescent Park first opened, it was a cause for a serious celebration. There was finally a new, modern-looking, leafy stretch of green space where people could walk their dogs, they could jog, they could roller skate in there. It offered a really spectacular view of the city skyline that the general public had not been able to see for decades. Now, it wasn't perfect. There were some frustrations over access. There were long periods of time where some of the wharves were closed for repairs that kept getting crashed into by boats. The park seemed to keep odd hours at times. But despite that, it quickly became a really beloved public space in a city that has, I think, not enough of them. If you've never seen a 4th of July show or a New York City fireworks show from Crescent Park, you are missing out. Put that on your New Orleans bucket list. 11 years after it's open, Crescent Park is showing its age a little bit. The only elevator that makes it fully accessible has been out of service for some number of years. There are permanent indoor restrooms, but they've been closed for as long as I can remember. Litter is piling up. Maintenance has slipped. It feels at times like this park is sliding into neglect, and that may not be remarkable except for the fact that it's about to grow. Massively so. This new Riverfront for All project is going to stitch together 2.3 miles of continuous park space along the river. It's going to connect the Riverfront Mall, Spanish Plaza, Waldenburg Park, the Moonwalk, and Crescent Park into one sort of seamless riverfront park. It's expensive, it's ambitious, but when it's done, whether you're living in New Orleans or you just love visiting it, it is going to change our lives. I don't think that's an overstatement. It's going to become a truly regional attraction. It's going to be a real shot in the arm for New Orleans' urban core, and for that matter, the French Quarter. You know, the crown jewel of Louisiana. So everybody has a stake in this. But if Crescent Park is any guide, there are questions about how we're going to build and manage and maintain this expanded riverfront. And those questions need answers. Joining us today to talk about what's next are Jeff Swartz, the city's Director of Economic Development, and Michael Karam, the Director of Parks and Parkways. Gentlemen, welcome to the show. Thanks for making time.
Thanks, Ian. Glad to be here.
Absolutely.
Thanks, Ian. Thanks for having us.
Michael, let's start with you. Just who is managing Crescent Park right now, and how has that changed over the last year or so?
Well, the city of New Orleans is managing it, and through economic development leadership, Parks and Parkways leadership, and a number of other city officials, we've sort of pooling our resources as of late May to continue the services that are offered at Crescent Park and to maintain hours, maintain litter pickup, turf management, landscaping, and it's really a joint effort between Jeff and his team, my work through a number of contractors, to where the city is continuing to offer the park to the public. We've actually expanded hours and are making a number of smaller landscaping improvements. The hours are, there was a little bit of a hiccup at the beginning of the transition from French Market to the city of New Orleans, but we feel that we're in a good place.
I figured that was probably the case, that some of these issues may have been a result of just this kind of handoff period, which, you know, I wouldn't be shocked if there was any sort of similar situation where one organization is managing a space and then hand it off to somebody else. You know, there might be some responsibilities that don't get quite handed off perfectly. So, okay, good. Who's doing security and groundskeeping? You have a contractor for that, yeah?
Yes. So we're working with other administrators in Real-Time Crime Center to provide security. And like you said, it's a handoff to different contractors and different security professionals. So we actually have a team out there now that is clearing some of the overgrowth adjacent to the Piety Wharf that hasn't been visible for a number of years due to overgrowth. So we're excited to see those improvements, the park hours for everyone out there. We've got signage going up, but it's 6 a.m. to 8 p.m. During the summer, June, July, and August, and 6 a.m. to 7:30 p.m. the rest of the year. So those are hours that are really driven by the community, especially in the early morning and the late evening, given the cooler temperatures. So, that's that.
Great. I was always kind of like, it's the sun is just going down. It's just getting pleasant to be outside, but I'm not allowed to be in the park. So that's good. It'll be open until 8 p.m. when people need it open the most. We got to talk about the two elevators that lead to the Mandeville Street Wharf. Those have been out of service for a pretty long time. I'm going to say at least in a year and a half, maybe longer. It's certainly, what I've been able to keep track of. Tell us what happened there and why those elevators haven't been put back into service.
So I'm virtually looking over to Jeff. He's in charge, or he's got more information on that in terms of some of the challenges that French Market faced and sure. Where we are with the repairs to those elevators.
Great. Jeff?
Yeah, happy to jump in. It is actually only, it's one elevator that exists at the Mandeville Wharf, and you're right that it's had, there have been challenges keeping the elevator operational, a lot of it due to vandalism and the fact that the electrical and other utilities that supply it are frequently vandalized. Mm-hmm. It has been out intermittently over the last few months, and we're currently making repairs, and so it should be reopened within the next 30 days or so.
Oh, I love that. That's great. Okay, and just for people who haven't seen it or walked across it, I guess you could refer to it as one elevator system, but it is two elevator cars. There's one that, leads up to this bridge that goes over the train tracks, then one would walk or ride over the train tracks, then enter a second elevator to get down to the ground level, correct?
I say correct. That's correct.
Okay, great. So let's talk a bit about how some of these safety concerns are being addressed. People who have reported feeling unsafe or feeling followed while in the park. There's people in there clearly under the influence of some pretty serious drugs. Whoever's the contractor that's doing security, how are they going after this sort of thing without, making it unpleasant for, just regular people that spend time in the park?
It's a great question. I'll jump on that one first, Mike. I think what we see in Crescent Park, I think, is emblematic of what we see in other locations downtown, especially along the riverfront, where the batcher, the banks of the river allow for folks to be able to encamp without being very visible at various times of the year. When it's high water, that obviously is not possible. But as the water goes down after the high water marks in the springtime, we see folks setting up there. And for a number of years, the park was operated in a way where the embankment was policed, but folks were not swept out of there with as much regularity as we know the general public would like to see. And so we've begun a concerted effort to work with the Public Belt, who operates the railroad along the riverfront, as well as with the Port Harbor Police and the Coast Guard in order to coordinate some cleanup and homeless services activities. And so we think folks will see diminishing levels of homelessness in the park. I will say that a lot of the comments that we get from the public in recent weeks are for security even being a little overzealous.
Right.
And having folks get towards the exits a little early. And so Mike and I and others on our team have worked to address those concerns. But we know that there's there are at least two security guards at all times in Crescent Park. And we want folks to feel safe. We want to respect people's, civil liberties and folks are in the park and not creating an unsafe environment for themselves and for others. That's one thing, but if anyone's feeling threatened, that's obviously not acceptable. And we ensure that security is present to be able to address those situations.
So the thing about, public parks is that they are, they're public. They're supposed to be available for anybody to use. And that includes unhoused people, which is not to say that you want them setting up tents in there or cooking food in there, or doing the other things. But, just in terms of their being able to peacefully enjoy the park, as would any other person who rents an apartment or owns a home, that's still permitted, right? Like, for example, can you sleep in there? Is it permitted to sleep? I know you're not allowed to lay down in Woldenburg Park. Is that the case at Crescent Park?
Right. You're allowed to lay down in the...
I'm sorry, overnight. Go for it, Mike.
Yeah, no, the park has hours of operation. So at night, our security has... The security that was there under French Market for about a decade, enforced the same rules. I mean, the circumstances of some of the issues that you addressed, trash and needles, it's kind of a surprise to me. Our teams have done a really great job, as did French Market previously, of ensuring that the park itself is well maintained and picked up. But it's flanked on one side by the public belt and on the other side by the river. And so, as Jeff mentioned, within a matter of really the first month of taking it over, we were in touch and continue to be in touch with the public belt and the port, which is really the same entity, to address trash on the railway. Actually, they did a very thorough sweep a few weeks ago on the rail lines. And so now we're working on the riverside to both address overgrown vegetation and to work with them to remove some of that trash. So trash cans are on a regular schedule. The park looks pretty good these days, but it is a challenging space given that it is along the riverfront. And as Jeff mentioned, there's some unique challenges that really Woldenburg, the Moonwalk, and Crescent Park face.
I'm glad you mentioned that, and I think we can go ahead and kind of transition now into talking about the bigger vision here with the Riverfront for All. I think part of what spurred me to have this conversation with you guys is some of these concerns that we have about Crescent Park. For lay people, like myself, I'm in a position of privilege where I can ask questions directly of you, but it seems like some of the issues that we've had at Crescent Park, there's no reason to think that those won't continue into the Riverfront for All project. I mean, once everything is all opened up, the park is still...
Epic views, waterfall mists, summit sunsets. It's all better outside. And with All Trails, you can discover the best of nature with over 450,000 trails around the world. Download the free app today and find your next adventure.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer, Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Still going to be flanked by the river and by the public belt and other, you know, properties that are not under city management. And so there might be some of these quality of life issues that may stick around, you know, even after this $55 million project is complete.
It's a great... Go for it, Mike.
Oh, I was just going to say, you know, some of the issues with, you know, encampments under the wharves, you know, they've increased over the last couple of months, last couple of years, and really the construction at the Governor Nichols Wharf has curtailed some of the access issues to those areas under the wharves. And it you know, it really is good. A joint effort between Audubon, the city, homeless services, and the port, just to address how folks end up along the waterfront and really, if they are there, just to ensure that their needs of homelessness are addressed, but they're not able to access those areas to begin with.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. Yeah. Jeff, answer this for me. So the Riverfront for All project completes a vision that's been, you know, sort of in our heads for a long time, a decade or more. How do you see Crescent Park and the new park fulfilling the recommendations of the Riverfront Vision Plan, the 2007 Master Plan, reinventing the Crescent? Those plans that we had laid out all that time ago, is the project that's now under construction, you know, are those two things properly lined up, or did a lot of things change? What's new? What's different?
Well, it's a fantastic question, Ian, and I'm glad you asked it, because I think you've really hit on the underlying challenge and opportunity here, which is that reinventing the Crescent and a lot of the planning work that happened post-Katrina, I think we all remember the energy and vision that a lot of us poured into that work. One of the pieces that has continued to be sort of an unfunded mandate is about governance. We've had a very compelling vision for what the riverfront should be, which I think we all agree is what we deserve in the city, which is a world-class riverfront befitting, you know, the Mississippi River and our amazing city. I think where we've fallen a little short over the prior decades has been identifying those sustainable sources of funding and the governance structure to manage the park in a way that we all want to see. And so I don't think Mike or I would ever advocate to piecemeal that work. I think what we would love to see is in the coming months and years to see more holistic and unified governance that has the resources necessary to link up all the different elements of the riverfront, really from Spanish Plaza all the way down to Poland Avenue, and be able to not just build, but also maintain and operate that riverfront space as a space where we all want to be. And so I think that conversation is happening. I can say, you know, in the administration and the city council side at Audubon and some other key partners, there's conversations about adequately, you know, funding riverfront and riverfront development and management is happening currently, so that we don't continue to see some of these, you know, thorny issues. And one of the things that I'll finish this thought on is this Riverfront for All park that we've all worked really hard on the city side and with Audubon to execute. That was contemplated many years ago, 7 or 8 years ago now, and we're finally at the point where we're executing on that. That is going to create, as you noted, Ian, a connection for the first time between the Moonwalk and the entrance to Crescent Park, so that we don't actually need elevators to have accessible, ADA accessible, and you know, entry points into the park, and that means that it's going to be even easier for walkers and bikers and pedestrians and, you know, folks you know, who are not necessarily walking into the park to be able to utilize that space. in a way that they never have before. And so now really is the opportunity to think about this big picture governance. And Mike and I have looked at some national best practices. There are some great ones, even upriver. The Memphis River Parks partnership is a great example of kind of a sister city that's thought more holistically about how to manage its riverfront. So we got our work cut out for us, but I think we're going to get there.
Yeah, well, you know, like I said in the earlier, it's expensive, it's ambitious, but I have no reason to think that it's not going to be spectacular when it's done, and we'll all be so
That's
much
right.
better for it. I do want to keep you guys around just a few minutes longer and ask you some more about money stuff, but before we take a break, maybe I can get a fast answer on this. So the whole stretch, that whole 2.3 miles, is already quite contiguous, except for about a 100-yard stretch where the Esplanade Wharf is. Like, you know, where the broken elevators are right now, there's a gate. And if that gate were to be opened, then it would already be possible for somebody to walk all the way, you know, from the Raisin Cane's at the far end of the Riverfront Mall all the way down to Bacchanal, which would be huge. I mean, people would, you know, use that for, you know, walking their kids and walking their dogs and all that, but also commuters would use that. But
that's right.
there's that one section, that one gate. And I want to know, when is that gate going to go away?
Great question. The short answer is first quarter of 2026 is when construction on the Governor Nick Esplanade Wharves should be wrapped up.
Great.
And then there will be that unified, contiguous, world-class riverfront that we're all hoping for.
That is good news. I'm pleased to hear it. We'll step away and we'll come back again with Michael Karam and Jeff Schwartz. We're talking about Crescent Park and the Riverfront for All project. I'm really excited about this. I am feeling a little more confident that it's not going to be plagued by some of the same issues that have hit Crescent Park. Time will tell. We'll be right back after this. If you want to react to anything you've heard so far, shoot me a text on the Oak Heart Jewelers Talkin' Text Line, 504-260-1870. Ian Hoke, BRB. On the Oak Heart Jewelers Talkin' Text Line, I'm getting some questions about the park. I'm going to try and get to those as quickly as possible. But first, I want to ask my guests, Michael Karam, Jeff Schwartz, about how some of this money is coming together. This project, the Riverfront for All funding, is coming from multiple sources to include the city, the convention center, the Audubon Institute, and private donations. I'm curious to know, and I guess, Jeff, this is for you, is that funding fully secured for both phases of this project, or is there still some maybe a shortfall?
Good job digging into this one, too. I would answer this in two ways. One is the current project that's out there. If my fellow New Orleanians go out to the end of the Moonwalk and look out at the Governor Nichols Wharf right there at the downriver end of the Moonwalk, that project is about a $30 million first phase of the work, and that is fully funded.
Cool.
The city committed dollars in addition to some other public entities like the Convention Center and the Port and Audubon, as you noted. That funding does not extend all the way through to the Esplanade Wharf, which is the wharf between Governor Nichols and Mandeville. Mandeville is the upriver end of Crescent Park. And so the project that will open in very early next year will have a continuous connection, as you noted, Ian, between the Moonwalk and Crescent Park. So that will absolutely be there. Mm-hmm. There will be a big, beautiful new park space at Governor Nick Esplanade Wharves that will have a number of amenities in it, as well as open space. Esplanade Wharf, though, will require some additional funding in order to fully renovate that project at the world-class standard and vision that we want. And then the second question that I think is implied in what you asked is about the larger governance. And I think that's something where, you know, we are in active negotiations with Audubon, as has been reported publicly. Audubon has been, you know, a wonderful steward of public spaces, both on the riverfront downtown, as well as obviously at Audubon Park and upriver. But it's expensive to manage park space. And so, you know, the city does not have money growing on trees, as I'm sure your listeners know very well. And so, you know, we are acting as stewards as the city to make sure that the park is well maintained and well operated in the meantime. And our hope is that we can come to a meeting of the minds about the resources that we'll need to have Audubon if we take over managing not just the Governor Nichols and Esplanade borders, but also Crescent Park going forward.
Mm-hmm. All right. So I'm hearing a lot of, funding is being discussed and talks are underway. Lots of very friendly terms like that. But taxpayers will want to know if the city and Audubon or whoever cannot reach a deal, who specifically is going to be responsible for this expensive upkeep, whether that's, infrastructure repairs or garbage or whatever. Does that fall back on the city budget? Or is there?
It does.
Okay.
Fundamentally, and Mike, maybe you want to say a little bit more about that. But that's exactly where we are in terms of, continuity of services. And the city will make sure that everything that we do will maintain and operate this space at a high level. But yes, it's our hope that we'll be able to have a partner who can focus on that more exclusively.
Cool.
Going forward. But yeah, Mike, please jump in.
Yeah, Jeff, well said in terms of where we are with Audubon. And, it's important for the public to realize that what Ian was talking about in terms of that Riverfront for All, like that realization is happening rather soon. It's just a matter of working out an agreement to where there is a unified management for the entire riverfront in time. In terms of funding for the city to continue to maintain Crescent Park, to provide trash collection, maintain the landscaping and turf and a lot of the services that it has been providing and that French Market previously did. The costs are not as substantial in the long run, but I think the costs in terms of capital improvements and fully activating Crescent Park is where some of the larger costs long-term come in. So
sure.
In the interim, the city of New Orleans is managing Crescent Park and it is doing so while negotiations with Audubon continue. And I do feel that, both for park goers and for the taxpayers, we're able to provide incredible public space along the riverfront that can continue for as long as needed until a larger agreement is reached.
Great. A couple of the things I wanted to touch on. I'm remembering, I think it was the 4th of July. This was a couple summers ago. I had made some plans with some friends to, let's get a couple of folding chairs, a pack of Miller's Light and go down there and watch the fireworks. And we were a bit surprised to get to the gate and see, there's a Fest security personnel encampment there, and they're saying, hey, you can't bring that in here, there's no outside food or drinks. And I'm kind of thinking like, man, I thought this was a public park, but it's being managed kind of by this public private partnership or even a private entity. I think that went over poorly enough with the neighbors that project, that experiment was not repeated again. So when the Riverfront for All project is done, is it going to have kind of choke points like that? I mean, how are you going to say, this is a festival event and you're not allowed to bring in outside food or drinks or anything? Is that going to operate any differently than something like, French Quarter Fest, which happens at Woldenburg Park? I mean, you kind of see what I'm getting at. Is it going to be truly public, or is it going to be a little more managed than that?
It's another really good question, because, I think at bottom, Crescent Park is a public space, and it needs to remain that successful. And
good.
I think that's full stop. I think the idea that there can be spaces in that park that could be operated at a high level and maybe offset some of those operating expenses that Mike was enumerating, that we actually would encourage anyone operating it, whether it's the city, Audubon, or otherwise, to look for opportunities for, doing event rentals or, having, small festivals or concessions that can help offset expenses and, create some amenities. I think at bottom, though, the idea that New Orleanians will not be able to go watch 4th of July fireworks, looking back at that, beautiful bend in the river there, I know for me and for Mike as well, would be a non-starter. Our goal is to not privatize public space.
I'm very satisfied to hear that answer. Thank you so much. I'm going to give you a couple questions and comments from the listening audience here on the Equinart Jewelers Talk and Text Line. Here's a text that says, parking has always been a problem for people trying to visit that area. Your thoughts?
Mike should jump in as well, but I'll just say that the new Riverfront for All Park that Audubon and the city are actively building right now, again, that's what will open at the former Governor Nichols Esplanade Wars in the early part of next year. There will be a significant amount of parking space incorporated there. Some folks wanted that to all be green space, but we heard those concerns loud and clear that we wanted to accommodate parking.
Do you have a, can I interrupt just real, do you have like kind of a ballpark number of parking spaces that you're thinking?
It's 50 to 75 spaces. If memory serves, I don't have the plans exactly in front of me, but it's not insignificant. And then the other piece that I was, just going to mention is that, because there will be for the first time in the city's history, this, you know, pedestrian, connection of all these riverfront spaces, a lot of those parking lots that are just upriver, adjacent to the Moonwalk and Oliver Dunn Park, and even a little further upriver towards the Jack's Brewery, all of those will be spaces that will be very accessible to the Riverfront for All Park and Crescent Park once there's that new pedestrian connection. So I think there will be significantly more publicly accessible parking space in the very near future.
Great. And we're kind of drawing to a close here, guys. We're a little bit running out of time, so we got to kind of get some fleet answers here. I've got other questions about how about a place where you can get a cold beverage or a hot dog or a popsicle? I don't want to turn it into a food court, but I don't recall anything like that. Your thoughts. So you say there will be amenities in the Riverfront for All, especially towards Esplanade. What's that to include?
There will be concessions, likely beverages, adult and otherwise, available in the new park space that opens early next year. Those are a part of the plans.
Superb. Any other closing thoughts you guys want to share before I let you go?
Just want to say, I'll let Jeff finish, but I just want to say thanks for having us on, just so that we can get information to the public about the current status of Crescent Park. The conditions and the coming amenities and collaboration with Audubon. So we appreciate you having us.
Absolutely. Thank you.
I agree.
Jeff, you want to finish off?
Mike said it very well. I think the idea here is that we have a world-class riverfront, and we know it, and the city is doing everything it can to make sure that it not just stays that way, but will continue to be that in the future. So thanks for the opportunity to get some good information out there.
Thank you for your time, your work, and your way, gentlemen. And I appreciate you being with us today. And I know the audience does as well. I'm telling you, folks, when this thing is done, it's going to be a ring-ding good time. I'm really, really excited about it. There's lots of details online if you want to go and look at schematics and vision boards and all the different kind of thing. Go look up Riverfront for All New Orleans. I'm Ian Hoken for Scoot. Be right back after this.
Escape the heat to True North convenience stores and get any size True Oasis fountain drink for 89 cents with True Rewards. Cool that thirst with any of your favorite Pepsi fountain drinks for 89 cents. As a free True Rewards member, pick the perfect size for you. No matter if you're craving a big drink or a small sip, it's just 89 cents. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
When New Yorkers buy a place with StreetEasy, they have the local expertise they need to stay in the city. When they buy outside the city, they have regrets.
The only way to fix this place would be to move it back to Brooklyn.
When it's time to buy, let StreetEasy connect you with the agent you need to never leave. Go to StreetEasy.com to learn more. StreetEasy is an assumed name of Zillow Inc., which has licenses in all 50 states.
Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. This is the show where your money is not scary. It's a show that's all about you. It's your questions that make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money, and more importantly, on your life. Listen and follow Jill on Money on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.